January 17th, 2024. It's the Fake Nukes and Fakeologist Show, FNF. And we do this show every Wednesday around this time. Phil always has new content, and new content is what is the lifeblood of any regular show. And I really don't have to do anything because he's got all the content, and I just say hi and try and catch up with it because he does the BitChute channel. And that is at Fake Nukes Phil on BitChute. I will put a link to it in the show notes. But we're going to talk about fakery. We're going to talk about the show we did with Simon Shack yesterday. And all kinds of other things. I haven't even looked at Fake Nukes' channel. I've looked at some of it. But he puts out so much content I can barely keep up. So maybe he'll highlight it for us. And tell us what to look for. Maybe say it really quickly. I find when somebody goes over their channel, if you hear something useful, they will probably go to it. That's what I do anyway. And yeah, Bill, how you doing on a Wednesday?
Oh, good. I'm glad to be here. How are you doing, Fake? Fake-o-tube.
Fake is fake, fakeologist. Fakeologist. I've been doing it so long, I've had different fake names. And
Fake News Phil is my fake name, you know, but I'm really Phil, yeah.
Well, you know, when I started computers in the 80s, everyone used a pseudonym on the bulletin boards. There was never a real name. And I just got used to it. I have a couple old names I used to have back in the day. And it was always kind of funny. I formed a computer club back in the 80s where I'm just to swap software. I never paid for software, but I never used it. I just was a collector of it. It was sort of a stupid thing, but we had meetings and it was funny. All the funny names people had. I had a friend called the Source. One was the Xenophobe, the X-Man. And you see these guys and they're just people from all walks of life. And it was just kind of funny. You don't look like the X-Man. You don't look like the Source. You know, what's your name? It was just funny. But that's how we did it. That's just how everyone did it. And I guess it was because we were trading software. You see, nobody wanted to use their real name in case Microsoft came knocking at the door saying, hey, pay us money. All you poor young people, pay us money for the software you're using. Yeah, right. You know.
Yeah. So, I know it's a dirty business.
Yeah. So I've always thought you should pay for software if you're making money from it. But if you're not reselling it or not really making money, you're just looking at it, I don't really see the problem. And Microsoft really was responsible for monetizing software. It was supposed to be shared, actually. It's called sort of a communist model, I think, for software at the beginning, but then they just commodified it. And of course, now Microsoft's the biggest, richest company in the world. And what damage that guy doing now with his foundations, I'm telling you.
Oh, does the owner of Microsoft have a foundation?
Well, Bill and Melinda Gates. That's where he puts. That's where he hides all his money.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah,
and he spreads his eugenics around the world.
Does he really still own Microsoft? He's.
Well, I think he got a ton of money out of it. He's not. He doesn't run it day to day, but I think the Gates family. It goes back. I think it's a real family. I think it does go back a long way.
They're definitely in the clan, whatever, you know, these family lines that rule the world. Yeah.
Well, I was talking to John Robinson, and thank you to Jim Rizzoli. I put your latest sit and chat, not walk and talk. And I kind of like your sit and chats, Jim, if you're listening, because I don't need the farm report every day. You know, the dog report, the chemtrail report. He spends a lot of time. Do you watch...
does he do that when he's on his walk and talk? He talks about the chemtrails?
He talks about the chemtrails. He talks about the dogs. He talks about the cows.
Well, I have seen that. Yeah. I've seen a part of that. Yeah. I saw there. My sky was full of chemtrails today. You know, when I was after the clouds blew away, it got replaced with all these, you know, lines in the sky.
All right. And, I'm not a big chemtrailer, but
I'm not a chemtrailer. You know, if they're spraying chemicals in the sky, then that means they're going to breathe the same air.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, and then people say, well, Phil, don't you understand? They don't care if they kill themselves. It's like, well, yeah, they do care if they poison themselves. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I have heard the theory that they hate life and they want to commit suicide as well. I have read that. I read that on one Substack. I can't remember who it is. I think there's a possibility, but if you're going to kill someone, there's a lot more efficient ways of doing it than dusting.
That's right. And they have control of our water supply, for crying out loud, and our food supply, you know.
Exactly. And our medical system. I mean, does anyone really know what's in any of these drugs? Even a simple aspirin? Are you really sure that what they say is in it? You know, give me a break. If you could show me where the plane picks up the chemicals, where it refuels, where, just show me, because I work at the airport. I don't see any chemtrail planes, and we don't have an active military here. So, sorry.
So what do you think about the jet fuel hoax? Because some people are really insistent that the airplanes are not running on jet fuel.
Well, like I said, I used to work at the airport, and whatever's coming out of the ass end of a plane, it stinks like all get out. They have no filters. There's no cleaning, scrubbing of exhaust. It stinks. It's a real thing, and it will make you sick if you just stand there and take that exhaust, you know.
So that sounds to me like it's burnt fuel then.
It's really fuel. Yeah. And you know, I think a plane uses most of its fuel taken off.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you can cruise. It's called cruising. You know, they get the tailwinds if they're going west to east. Mm-hmm. You don't use as much fuel. You can, I heard now on the No Agenda show, they're gliding in now to airports to save fuel.
Wow.
Which doesn't always work, because if you ever notice, when you're landing, the pilot's trying to avoid the turbulence. So he'll put a little gas to go forward. Then he finds a dead area, and then he goes down real fast. So they, you know, they're working the gas pedal to avoid all the turbulent spots. Otherwise, you know, you start jerking around. You can't just glide into an airport.
Yeah. I didn't jump on board the jet fuel hoax thing because, I'm pretty sure it's the same technology that the Germans invented in World War II, the Messerschmitt. They invented the, you know, the jet engine, the first operational jet aircraft, and it used fuel. And basically, when I look at one of these commercial jets, I'm basically looking at a Messerschmitt, because it hasn't changed in 80 years. We haven't made any leaps in aviation. We're virtually in a dark age. I mean, we are, since 1945, we are in a dark age. No advancements. We're not exploring space, as you well know. We are, in fact, they're lying about outer space. And so it's like, what the hell is that all about? Why are they doing that? And they immediately started brainwashing us about these nukes. And that was their way to control the worldwide population. And so we're not advancing. There's no splitting the atom going on. You know, there's no going to Mars. You know, none of that is happening. So,
or will ever happen.
Nor will ever happen.
Because, like you said, we're blowing all our money on military, and most of that money's being stolen, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll order 100 bombs, they'll deliver 20 of them, and they'll send the material for them out the back door and sell it again. So I think the fraud in the military system is off the charts.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I really do. And there's no enemies, you know. You're the enemy, actually.
The military exists to brainwash their own country. The psychological warfare is against us.
Yeah. And they use and they steal most of the money from the taxpayer. So they print the money, they make you work, they make you give half of it back to them, and they steal it. It's straight up theft.
Yeah, like, some Republican gets in office and says, "I'm going to boost the military budget," and then all these white people vote for him. And it's like, dude, it's
like, the money doesn't go to the Ukraine. It doesn't even leave the bank account. I think it just circles right back into their pocket. You're not getting, there's nothing going on over there. So,
yeah, we got it.
And why discuss it, Tom Wax Bottles Jones? Because you want to hear it. You came here to listen to fake nukes and myself talk about the BS. So
I think he's talking about the chemtrails and the
jet. Okay, sorry.
Well, we just briefly mentioned it. Yeah, we moved on. Yeah, it's like that. We both agree that it's not anything we're gonna even concern ourselves with.
Just show, like you say, show me the bodies. okay, show me the planes, show me the where they get the chemicals, show me how it's done. Okay, if they admit they do cloud seeding and they weather modification, just can we just see the documentaries, please, and we'll take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the easiest way to poison people is just tell them that if they don't take this medicine, they'll die.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think the guy I saw today laying on his back, I'm pretty sure looking at the pictures on the computer mm-hmm. screen there, you know, they show all the family pictures. Yeah. He was masked up to his eyeballs. That's the cult sign that, yeah, I'm in the cult and I'm taking the sacrament in my arm and I'm part of it. So I'm sorry to say that, but mostly.
Yeah, when my ex-wife was murdered, we flew back to Louisiana and they had a viewing and.
Oh yeah.
They put a turtleneck on her corpse because she had her, because her boyfriend had cut her throat.
Oh so, my God.
Yeah. So they put a turtleneck on the corpse and then that was to show, I guess, so I can't say that's a hoax, right? And of course the trial, you know why I know the trial was real? Because I didn't hear about it. And I didn't, the family would give me like on a yearly basis, an update on, because the trial lasted like 4 years and on a yearly basis, they would give me a quick update. And then finally, after 4 years, the family emailed me and said, guilty, life in prison. And that's the only thing the email said. And so, so I got from that the family didn't really want to discuss it. And, the trial probably aired a lot of dirty laundry. And so I didn't pry. And so, but I do check on the guy. He's still in Angola prison in Louisiana. And wow. He still hasn't been paroled. I check on him to make sure. I wrote a letter to the prison saying, if you ever think about paroling this guy, you better let me know. And they didn't answer back. I don't think they have any idea of paroling him. People have told me that if you're a black guy in Louisiana and if you kill a white woman, you ain't never getting out. And so I guess that's what's going on. Wow. Because, my ex-wife had never dated a black guy before, and she learned the hard way. And she was from California, and she was a bit naive. And then, but she...
That's a gruesome.
Anyway, so I raised my daughter, and we are... my daughter doesn't make the same mistake. I'll tell you that. She's never brought home a boyfriend that I don't approve of. And wow. She is a very happy and well adjusted young lady. And she's got a good work ethic and everything worked out. She's making her mother proud up in heaven. And so it's a happy ending.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
I'm sorry to get that heavy.
It's a downer for you. Yeah. Sorry, Tom Waxbottle Jones. I jumped the gun on the comments. I shouldn't look at the comments because they're always trailing the conversation and mm-hmm. I get distracted. So I'm going to stop looking over there unless you want to look, Phil. And if you see anything you want to answer, go ahead. And this week we were on with Gemma. And is that the first time we had Simon Shack on there?
That was great. I mean, I think that was a one for the ages. That was a conversation. It'll reach the annals of internet history.
Nice. Did you talk to Simon before?
Yeah. We had a long conversation.
Nice. Okay.
Off camera. He didn't want to go on camera. And I ended up, you know, I bought his book, you know, the Tycho's second edition. And because just he deserves it. I need to buy Gemma's book also. She's done a lot of good work. I know she's written a book, but I'll make a donation or something.
Yeah, you can donate to
this. I do. I mean, you know, all of us, you know, I don't.
It's okay. I don't need the money. It's really for people that want to support us, but don't have a way. You do a show. I don't mm-hmm. expect anything about that because you're contributing with your time. But I only left the donation up there for people that they want to do something, but they don't want to participate in any way. Which I understand. It's a lot easier to flip a few bucks. And I even refund donations, believe it or not. I had somebody who came on the site and was talking about certain things on our Discord, which is a live chat. I don't administer it mainly because I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't like active administration and moderation. And I think she got moderated off. She asked for her money back, and you know, that's so I said okay, so I just pressed the button and it went back. And she said she wasn't a rich person. I said, that's fine. You don't have to donate. No one asked you to. It's really just for people who want to keep this thing going and on the video platform. If I canceled the video platform, it really wouldn't cost me much to run the site. But this this thing, it does cost a lot of bandwidth. So I only keep it really because I don't want to upload 7,000 videos to BitChute and then one day they don't like me and goodbye. It takes a lot of effort to upload a video. You know that. You make videos and you have to upload them. It takes time.
Yeah, BitChute's pretty easy. That's why I like it. And sometimes I can upload a video in 4 minutes. And I mean, most of the time I can upload a video in 4 minutes. I mean,
yeah, but
especially on Instagram when they're giving me all my material and I don't even have to search for it. I mean, all I got this Gaza thing has just been a gold mine. It's like every single day they're giving me some, it's like another Whopper, you know, something. I mean, it's just funny as hell.
Yeah.
You know, and
but my point is, if they wiped you out tomorrow, all that work, you'd have to find another place to upload it. So that would waste your that would waste your time. And you're already not visible in Europe, which means half your audience is gone in one shot. And if they wanted to cut off Canada or the US one day, then you're just uploading into a black hole. So that's why I created FakoTube. And I think it's the way of the future. And you know, there's another backup way, which is free, and that is using a syncing program. If you ever wanted to leave your computer on and allow people to just grab all your videos at once, I highly recommend it. It doesn't cost you anything. And if you have a computer hooked up to the internet, you can just leave the file sync on. And the only reason that it's better than BitChute is if you're trying to search for video, I've discovered you really can't find videos on your channel or any channel. You can't search specifically to a channel, but you can if you have them all downloaded on your own computer. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you ever wanted to set that up, I could help you. I think Jim was. Nice. I think it's really easy. It doesn't take any brain power, really. You get it going fast. I think Jim wanted help doing that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's got tons of data. Yeah, he's got tons of archives. Yeah, I don't have that much storage, and so I am saving all of my Gaza stuff on a separate flash drive that's disconnected from my computer, because this is the pinnacle of my career at this point. because all of my work in the past has brought me to this point, and so now I'm on this mission. It's like because I smell blood in the water. I all these people have failed to bring peace to the Middle East. All these academics, all these preachers, all these the greatest minds of the entire generation has been elusive, and they can't figure out for 75 years this war in the Middle East. It's like, what? We can't figure it out. That's because it's all been fake. And so this is where the fakeologists like us, this is where we come in, and we can call their bluff, because there's a certain question we can ask. And that is, nobody knows anyone who's been hurt over there. And you know what? And then what? And as a result from that question, what you get is a bunch of trolls in the comment section saying, I know somebody. It's like, okay, so give me some details. And then they scurry away, and, you know, they never want to give any details. And it's very predictable at this point. And they do have trolls out there that are ready to come in and lie to you and say, oh, Phil, I know lots of people over there that are getting killed. It's like, okay, well then tell me about one of them.
Yeah, give me one. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just scurry away. You know, so this is, it's playing cards. It's like, I know what they have in their hand, and I can call their bluff.
Well, you know, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Forum COINTELPRO, and they have all kinds of ways to screw up your forum, your comments. We got forum sliding, which is pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Oh, these are the troll tactics you're talking about?
Yeah, this is counterintelligence. This is how they do it. These are the techniques. We got forum sliding, consensus cracking, topic dilution, information collection, anger trolling, gaining full control. You need to know these techniques. So yeah. I bought them at the top here at fakeologist.com.
Okay.
It's under its own topic here at the top, Forum COINTELPRO.
Yeah.
These are tried and true ways to disrupt.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And everyone that runs a forum needs to know them. Mm-hmm. You know, my comments were getting flooded the other day when I was talking with John.
Mm-hmm.
And it just pisses people off for the most part. And mm-hmm. it's just rude. You know, you wouldn't go into a room and every time someone started a conversation, you start going, blah, 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 walk between them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to kick you in the nuts. You know, that's yeah. just rude.
So I noticed, and another method they use, and they demonstrated it this week, or perhaps it was last week. I didn't catch on to it until this week. But they put out one of those videos from Gaza that had a very obvious rubber baby. I mean, you know, it was like a real obvious one. And so the Jerusalem Post picked up on it and said, oh, they're using rubber babies over there in Gaza. And And the Jerusalem Post, and then they came back with a retraction, though, the next day and said, oh, sorry about that. Our editors didn't really think about what they were doing. We retract that story that we issued yesterday. And and so that way, so what they do is they feed that into the narrative. That way, if people like me who come out and say they're using rubber babies, they'll say, that's been debunked. Even Israel admits that those babies are real. It's like, that's because Israel's in on it. Israel's the one who's supplying the rubber babies. Don't you understand? It's all an act, you know? And that's the tactic to... Again, to that way, people like me who bring up the rubber baby topic, well, now, oh, you're an idiot because Israel's already admitted that those are real babies. It's like, you don't understand. This is not a war we're looking at. This is a business we are looking at.
And it's an information war. And what it does is if you end up searching for rubber babies, as most people just go to Google, they type rubber babies, you're going to get their story because they'll take their story, put it on the top. You're never going to get to Phil's story because number one, he's probably not listed under Google search. That's how you do it. So they take keywords that are important to your site and they steal them.
Mm-hmm.
And then their story will pop up and then people click on it. Oh, that's the rubber baby story. And then it's over for them. That's the end of their research.
Yeah. And they've done the research.
That is how they do it. Yeah. And, you know, I think the tunnel story in New York City, which is probably fake, that's to somehow be a search sponge for Jewish tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what it does is anytime you type in Jewish tunnels, you're going to get those stories and not whatever the hell's going over in Gaza. You see?
Okay.
That's how it works. So anytime, because those are, just think about it. The main thing is tunnel and Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So those two words, if you type those in, we can do an experiment now and see what happens. We're probably going to get this thing going on over there in New York City.
Yeah.
And not, it's going to hide the Gaza thing. So here we go. I just typed Jewish tunnels and you can see here, Shabbat Synagogue, secret tunnel in New York City. And this is presearch.com. It's not even Google.
Mm-hmm.
What we know about the Brooklyn Synagogue tunnel. See how that works? If you type that in 3 weeks ago or whenever before this story, you would have got Gaza.
Yeah. Yep. Oh. And so it takes over the search results. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important. So this is what this is this is just information war, period. Mm-hmm. Info war. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and Alex, we are way outmatched. And we are in the basement of the internet. You know, none of our videos ever trend anywhere. And we are kept from trending. And so, yeah, it's just, but I see at this point, knowing the position we're in and how little power we have. Well, so, but we know what they have in their hand. And so what we got to do is just find that one little thread that we can pull. That'll unravel the whole dang sweater. And just that one question we can ask that they have no answer for. And you know, we got to just keep looking for it, kind of hone our skill, hone our bluff better. So then I did this today. This
Why don't we go over your stuff? Let's blast through your stuff from the last.
I was surprised because somebody, because there was this fire at this high-rise building in 1974 down in Brazil. And people were actually jumping out the window.
Really?
At least that's how the story goes.
Okay.
40 people jumped out and 40 corpses were laying on the sidewalk. But they gave us a lot of imagery, a lot of people getting put on, corpses being put on gurneys, yeah. Corpses on the ground. And so, but what I did was I slowed the video down and stopped it and kind of looked at these corpses closely. And frankly, when you look at the corpses closely, they don't pass the test.
Uh-oh. So you think this is fakery in Brazil in the 70s?
Yes, I do. Yes, because wow. You look. They gave us. See, this is their mistake. Is they gave us too many images of corpses, and so we can stop the video and zoom in on it. And it's like that's not a corpse that has fallen 25 stories. You know this, or I guess they were
doing whoppers back in the 70s. Wow, in Brazil of all places, what?
Yeah, they make
movies in Brazil.
And in fact, if you listen to this video on YouTube, it's got the symphonic music. It's a Hollywood production, and this was to traumatize the people in Brazil, and people jumping out of burning skyscrapers is a technique they use to do an MK Ultra. There's one guy falling. See that?
But you don't see him hit the ground.
You don't see him hit the ground, exactly. And if he fell from that height, then we would see this. And there's another guy. If he really fell from that height, you see, and he fell behind a truck.
All right. Wow.
And this guy does a cartwheel. See this? He does a cartwheel.
Wow. This is good stuff, Phil. Where'd you find this? Did someone take you off on this?
Somebody in my comment section put this to me. He said, Phil, people jump out of skyscrapers all the time. What's this video? And so, this video was like 29 minutes long. What I did was I edited it down to 4 minutes. And so I got the best 4 minutes out of it. And as you can see,
beautiful.
And you can see them hauling bodies around. And
I'm going to love this.
Yeah. And,
that's the movie Towering Inferno. That was a movie, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I remember it.
Was that
in 1975, I think, or 1974, maybe. Yeah.
This is what they call concurrent programming. They'll pretend something is real. It helps promote the movie.
Yeah, it was about the same time that this event happened. Yeah, you're right. And so, this was see these corpses. They're not broken. None of the bones are broken. There's no. You would see intestines.
Because
every time a body hits the ground, the intestines always
Towering Inferno. Is that
there's no broken bones. Yeah.
Look at
1974?
That. Yeah. Wow, the same year.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see the trailer of Towering Inferno. Let's see if it matches.
Towering Inferno. Hold on.
The Towering Inferno here. Wow.
Steve McQueen and Paul Newman race against time. As one tiny spark becomes a night of blazing suspense. The Towering Inferno.
It's out of control. And it's coming your way.
Oh. 20th Century Fox and Warner Brothers present Irwin Allen's production of The Towering Inferno.
Nice. Anyone watch this? Anyone old enough?
I think I
Steve McQueen. Paul Newman, William Holden, Faye Dunaway, Fred Astaire, Susan Blakely, Richard Chamberlain, Jennifer Jones, O.J. Simpson, Robert Vaughn, and Robert Wagner. The Towering Inferno.
Those people are going to die up there. Something's been done.
Wow. Faye Dunaway, wow.
So you can stop worrying about me. What about me down there worrying about you?
I'll never let you go anywhere without me again.
Fred Astaire?
I'll be back with the whole fire department.
All right, I won't watch anymore. Okay, I'll put that in the show notes. Oh, that's a good find. 1974, Towering Inferno. Beautiful.
Yeah. And so, I mean, at first viewing, when I watched that video, it looked pretty it looked pretty real. I was going to do the video on the premise that the people in San Paulo, that city in Brazil,
yeah,
the people in San Paulo had all these cameras and were able to get all the pictures of these bodies. How come nobody in Manhattan could get pictures of the 200 jumpers that jumped out in New York City? But then when I started looking at this video and started looking closely at the bodies, I said, oh, this is fake too. So it's like, I can't even use it for a comparison now. He's like, these aren't real dead bodies.
When I used to watch cartoons, the firemen always had this big trampoline that they caught the people.
That's right.
Well, you know how they run over to catch the guy before. Do they use that here?
No, they didn't. And so this corpse right here is the dead giveaway.
Oh, there's Father Michael.
Yeah, is it? Okay, so there's no blood under the head. There's no blood under that. The cranium has been removed, and there's no blood under that head. The sidewalk is completely dry. It's impossible. And so that corpse right there is a dead giveaway. If you zoom in on it and that's a mannequin. It has to be, because there's no brain matter. There's no blood underneath that head.
Right.
That's
a bone.
You are looking at an impossibility right there. And so if that means the whole story is an impossible.
There'd be some splatter too.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Hair indicates it's a woman.
Anyone dropped an egg on the sidewalk? It's pretty similar from that height.
Yeah. There's no splatter. There's no intestines coming out. Yeah, you're looking at a mannequin. It has to be, because that is not a human corpse would behave much differently than that.
Yeah. So I don't know if they do a lot of fakery in South America, because we just don't get, I've always said this, we don't get South American media at all.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even, most Americans, Western people, we don't even know. We don't even know the countries down there. It's almost like another world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we say, you know, when they say, oh, where are these people going? They go to a desert island. They could go to South America and we wouldn't know about them. That's a big area. That's a big continent.
Yeah. Yeah. What it's is, huge. I mean, you know, yeah.
Patagonia is down there, Argentina, Colombia, you name it. There's Guyana.
Yeah, so they do the MK Ultra stuff down there, the same as they do here. It's the same kind of, this is the worldwide control we're under since World War II. This is the whole world turned communist. And so, there's no difference between countries. And COVID proved that. I mean, all the countries of the world participated in this freaking obvious, laughable little hoax. You know,
The choppers. Cloverfield says here, good job. The choppers were there to rescue. No, film it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had lots of cameras there. Yeah.
They weren't trying to save anyone. They just wanted to video it.
Yeah.
You know, the choppers here at the beginning here. Just flying around here.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people on the roof, you know, that imagery right there is like very traumatic and very MK Ultra-y.
They almost look too big. There's the helicopter there. They almost look too big for the...
For the roof line?
Yeah, yeah.
Could be.
So maybe editing there. Something's going on there. Some Holly weird. And again, this is a zoom-in scene, so we don't know. You can't see it. There's no reference to the ground, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So that could be.
Yeah.
This could all be spliced together. I never heard of the story, so this is pretty good.
Yeah. So I was.
So you were looking to show, you were trying to find real jumpers, and you were going to compare them to.
I was thinking that this was an instance where they had real people jumping out a window. But then when I looked closely at the bodies, I said, oh, no, that can't be real. Because I've seen... You know, because they post gore on the internet. I've seen human bodies after they've fallen like three floors. You know, the whole thing squirts open. Oh, I've even seen photos from the crash of 1929 where people in New York City were throwing themselves out the window. And those are old photographs from 1929. And when the body hit the sidewalk, I mean, every bone in the body broke. I mean, it's very graphic. It's like, oh, my God, that guy fell out of a window. You know, there's no mistaking, you know. And so when I look at these bodies here, it's like, wait a minute. These bodies are all intact. There's no way they fell out of a window, you know. Yeah.
Nice. And what's this? This is the actual.
I do my commentary on that same video.
Okay.
So, but it's basically the same video you were just showing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the next one here? Gaz, a bad acting deserves a slap.
Yeah, just I'm practicing my video editing skills, and I'm splicing videos together.
Oh, I got it. So you're making comedy.
Yeah, that you, I think you recommended Screencast for me, and so I'm using Screencast to splice videos together. And
this is from Airplane, isn't it?
Yeah. And the slap scene, because this woman here today slapped her.
I love that. That's great.
They slap her.
That's really good, actually.
So this Gaza thing, you know, just keeps giving me, you know.
Well, it's comedy. Oh, everyone's, oh, here's that OJ? Oh, this guy's got a red.
Yeah.
Calm down. That's funny. That's actually a pretty good movie.
Oh yeah,
Airplane. Well, okay, I like that. That's cool. That's good. So you're doing some comedy there, and then here's some more comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Howard. They didn't intend it to be comedy, but it came out as comedy. Yeah.
So you just posted this as is.
Yeah. Employees. Good point. That's the same guy in a wig.
Yeah,
absolutely is.
I think a lot of the victims were they take their early childhood photos and they morph them because, of course. You look a lot like your childhood photo when you're older.
Oh, and yeah.
You could pass that off as your child, I guess, if the mother had no influence on what the child looked like, I suppose. But it's a good way of, they use a little morphing software to make it look younger, maybe put a head of hair on. But I think what you were, this was what we were talking about yesterday, Simon and you and me and Gemma.
Yeah.
And I think there's a shot here. This is the head of Cantor Fitzgerald, which is,
yeah,
they account for most of the victims. Apparently, they had a really bad day where almost everyone was wiped, and this is him with hair. And that's where I was saying you can see this very bright area of the face.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a very very crude photo paste. Like, why does he have a clown face? A little whiter here, but on the side, it's another texture and another color.
Yeah.
So this might be just a really...
It worked for me. And
bad photo paste up.
I worked at Cantor, and he called my sister just after the plane hit, and he told her that...
Anyway, this is something from the 9/11.
Yeah, this is Robbie Parker. This is Robbie Parker tier, and this guy is responsible for almost 700 of the deaths on 9/11. Well, I mean, his company supposedly was the victimized of 700 victims of 9/11. And this guy doesn't shed a tear, and this guy's Jewish. I mean, come on. And so people get mad at me and say, Bill, you're trying to let the Jews off the hook. It's like, no, I'm not. This Jew right here is lying to you. I say, yes, the Jews did do 9/11, and this is how the Jews did it, because they lied to your face. That's how the Jews did 9/11. And they're like, no, Phil, you don't understand. The Jews kill people. It's like, no, the Jews trick us, and then we go do the killing for them, because as a result of 9/11, we all joined the military, and we went over, and we just wanted to kick somebody's ass. And so we said, and then George Bush told us that Iraq needed to have their ass kicked. And so we said, okay, let's go kick their ass. You know, and so we were just like mindless dogs going to go kick someone's ass. We didn't care who. It's just the Jews tricked us to go to war, just like they always do. The same thing with the 1991 or the first Gulf War, where the Naira went in front of the Senate committee and she did a fake cry. And that changed public opinion, and then we were off to war to Iraq. It's like, are you kidding me?
It's to go to a fake war, by the way. I think that's the other thing.
Yeah,
it's
a fake event
to go to a fake war to burn real money on fake weapons, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, well, so what was Iraq? I mean, I kind of tend to think that it was real to an extent. Because we went there twice.
What exactly did we see there, though? I mean,
there was that one highway of death where we saw all those burnt, and we did see some realistic burned corpses in those vehicles. I mean, you know, they showed us something, and they did look what I would expect is a dead human body inside of a vehicle.
I don't even know. Did they really directly kill 300,000 children as Madeleine Albright was so proud, saying it was worth it. Or,
oh, see, I don't believe that. No.
Or were those people basically just poisoned and starved? I mean, that's possible too.
I think what we did was we killed the white males or people, because males over there in Iraq who are proud of their heritage and proud of their nationality. And then Saddam Hussein gave him an AK-47 and say, hey, go fight these Americans. They're invading your country. And so then it became a turkey shoot. And that's what I believe Iraq was. It was the same thing at Vietnam. That Vietnam was the exact same thing.
Oh, they were he was trying to build up Iraq into an actual country, I think. And
well, the war is against the
nationalists. Not allowed. Yeah, that's not allowed.
Yeah, the communists won the war, and so the war is against the nationalists. Now that the communism has world control.
Well, it's always been against nationalists, though.
It has always been against nationalists, yes. But now they're just, what they're doing is mop-up operations and just getting the nationalists that they missed. Oh. That's what they're doing, mop-up operations, yes.
I think the whole point of international socialism, otherwise known as communism or communitarianism, they don't want any one country to have everything they need to take care of their own country, because their argument is, well, they'll get so powerful, they'll want to expand.
Mm-hmm.
So they make every country interdependent. So for instance, all your food comes from over here. All the resources come from over there. So this mm-hmm. country needs this country. So they have to keep cooperating. And this is their idea that, oh, this will keep peace in the world, because no one country can operate without cooperating with their neighbor or another country. I think that is the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And their argument is, oh, this is for peace in the world, because we can't let one country get powerful, because they'll just go invade and take over the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's pretty close. I think that's what's going on. It's an international cabal that's, they're globalists. You know, everything that Alex Jones says about the globalists, you know, is right. But the fact, what he doesn't tell you is that he's one of them.
He's the outlet for everyone who disagrees. But
what
does he get us? And he misses out a few critical points, I guess. Guardrailing.
Yeah, he leaves out a few details, yeah.
Well, he gives everyone just enough that they can feast on, I would say.
Yeah. You know, he's mainstream. That's why he's allowed to get all those views. And his show hasn't suffered since he took the Sandy Hook settlement. You know,
no, he's still selling his vitality pills and his tang. Yeah, so, green.
You know, it's just dumb. You know, and people should realize, and people told me, well, Alex Jones got sued for $1 billion because of that Sandy Hook. Dude, have you seen Alex Jones? He's still doing his show.
He actually stops things from going mainstream. If you recommend him to your mother, she's going to say, who is this idiot that you're yelling at me? Mm-hmm. Why are you following him? And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think he keeps us all corralled.
Yes. Well, Greg, you know, we're way beyond Alex Jones now. I mean, you know, I could show Alex Jones is wrong on just about everything he covers. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't even think he hits the mark once. Not even once. And
here is Howard, by the way. He's still going. He's only got 1,500 followers. You think he'd have a few extra.
Yeah. What is that? Is that his Facebook page?
This is his Twitter page. His Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So they're still going. This guy's still going.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got new teeth, I see. Well, he can afford it. He can afford a good dentist. Not like me. I can't afford a good dentist.
I was going to say, I heard Cantor Fitzgerald in the news for some reason today or this week. So things are still happening. They're still involved. Okay. I don't know what exactly they're doing these days, but he's still yapping. Here he is here.
$18 billion. First Republic lost all of its money, all of its money. So all it has left is franchise value. So I think people who are trading the stock today are taking a wild risk.
Okay, there you go. So yeah. He's still gabbing on like nothing happened. Yep.
Yeah. And so if you think that people died on 9/11, well, then you are a Howard Litnick fanboy.
Yeah.
I mean, that means you're letting Howard Litnick do your thinking for you. I mean, think it's pretty obvious. I mean, decide which side you're on. You know, it's like, and this Howard Lipnick is a fraud. And he said that 700 of his employees got killed on 9/11. Well, that's a big whopper. That's like a Holocaust style whopper, you know.
Well, nobody's following him and nobody's really commenting. Our own Greg Shantz left a comment here. But other than that, no one is really responding. I guess no one's worried about it.
What did Greg post?
He just said, where's the evidence that anyone died or even got?
Nice. Yeah. And so what did it didn't get removed?
No, not yet. No, it's 13 hours ago. But this is a post that Howard put up.
Way to go, Greg. That's a good one. Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's actually looking at it. He has no comments. So, geez, where are all the employees chiming in, or the families, rather? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep going. What else we got here? Pick anything you want. It was Martin Luther King Day on Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So in this video, you can see the remaining King family in their first Christmas.
60 minutes.
What was this right after he?
Yeah, this is right after Martin Luther King was assassinated, and the family is just all smiles. And
there's good old Mike Wallace.
In April of this year, America, the world,
Looks like
stunned by the killing of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Looks like their old friend Rick Paula. Hey, Rick.
Christmas time. Rick from Arizona. Hey. Hello.
Rick from Arizona.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about 9/11. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who Adam Green is. He's a
big,
yeah. Okay. Anyways, he lives in San Diego, and there was this huge firemen's convention there.
Oh,
and he went out there with his microphone, and he went up to the fire department New York people, and he started talking to them, getting them. They all started talking, and he turned the conversation onto 9/11, and they all just turned around and walked away.
Oh,
we got a link to that. Yeah. I'll play that.
I saw a couple of years ago. I might have a piece of it on my computer, but I swear to God, that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to get their face on camera talking about 9/11, because even the firefighters know there's a big whopper.
Yeah, so, okay, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, good one, Rick. Thanks.
Yep. Somebody else, yeah, you can call me on Skype on Fakeologist on Skype. It's a pretty good way of doing it. If people always used to use Skype. Now nobody uses Skype. Yeah, somebody else went to, who was that? Oh, right, I put it on FakoTube. Jeff Hill was a Canadian guy, and he called people on 9/11, or the so-called actors of 9/11. He got hung up on all over the place. Just, I don't know if you've heard this. I'll play it a little bit so you can get a bit of this. And let's make sure I unmute this site. So let me find him. So he called the Hazar Khani guy.
Oh, did he? And he recorded it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So he called this guy that did this video. Let me just...
Are you pulling it up?
Yeah. Can you hear it? Oh, wait, sorry.
No, I can't hear it.
Okay, can you hear it now? Let me just play it. Is that coming through?
And where were you standing when you took the video?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, now it's buffering.
No, I know. What happened was I...
Wait, what? I don't like to talk about this. But I looked in my camera. I saw that I had got the plane. I didn't want it, so I gave it. And now they have the right to it. So I tried to stay out of this a little bit.
He basically called all these people that allegedly took the footage. Mm-hmm. And they all basically say, I can't talk about it because I sold it to the news media. And it's theirs now, and I can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think Jeff was a real guy, and mm-hmm. he was trying to contact these people, and they basically just told him to buzz off.
Right. So the CBC has all the rights to it now? Yeah, they have it. They have the
order. You remember back on 9/11, you were in the chopper with Patrick Walsh?
Yes.
Okay, and I seen a segment on the History Channel, I think it was. Or something, and you guys said that you were in the you were up in the chopper in the air when the plane came in.
Mm-hmm. No. Where are you from?
I'm from Canada. Like I know you had said something about the FBI had taken your camera, and took you somewhere or something?
No, they had I ran into them, and they wound up having my my tape.
Yeah, you have to call CNN and get the information. I'm not allowed to give anything else.
You see how he's calling all these actors? They're all stonewalling him. Well, they're all stonewalling him. Basically, they say you got to call CNN, you got to call the FBI. So they all of a sudden lose their brains and they can't talk.
Yeah.
Are they in court? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they are in court and they know.
Well, if you did call them, this is what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people, I think Jeff was real. I think he was trying to find out the truth, but this is a pretty good video, actually. This is actually a mashup. Jeff made the calls and someone made the video, actually, and put the music in there. So it's pretty good. I recommend, I'll put it in the show notes. So he was kind of a fake Nukes Phil back in the day, and this is at least 15 years ago.
Yeah, so why I would be afraid of doing something like that is because those people can come back and sue me, because if you call and put somebody on recording, you have to tell them in the beginning that you're being recorded.
Yeah.
And
doesn't that depend on the state? Isn't it only one person has to know they're being recorded? There's certain
I'm not sure about the law.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
And I can't afford an attorney either. And so, you know, I mean, I know that they can't get much from me. They're like squeezing blood out of a turnip. And that's why I do say that a lot of things I do is because, like, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to sue me for? You know, I don't have, a person like me. I don't have status. I don't have a master's degree in anything. You can't take away my status.
Right. You don't have tenure.
I have freedom to say what the hell I think, right?
And so, as do most Americans.
Yeah, and most Americans don't care about
Don't.
The truth has become self-censoring. The truth is available if you dig deep enough into the internet, but most people are not interested in the truth. It has become like George Orwell said, the truth will become self-censoring. And
Tom says it depends on the state.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And anyway, so basically,
Georgia,
6 minutes was there the day after.
We visited last Saturday.
You know
with
what? They could have filmed this anytime, actually. You don't know. They could have done it before they made his fake death.
And her four children.
Nobody knows the timeline.
Mrs. Really. King, I wonder if you'd introduce your family to us.
This is Dexter.
Yeah, everybody's all. His father just got murdered.
Right.
It's only you, Dex.
His father just got murdered.
Now, this is dad's probably hiding in the next room.
Yeah.
It was all a big joke, you know? He knows dad's next door. Well, he's in the next
this
room.
This fellow over here.
This is Martin Luther III.
And so, here's his namesake, Martin Luther III.
Marty.
And how old are you, Marty?
I'm 11.
And he just couldn't be happier.
I imagine, of course, that you bear your name with great pride.
They know it's a joke, and they know that they're told, listen, pretend daddy's dead and shut up.
Yeah.
That as a young child, that's got to be hard to, because you're not supposed to lie. You tell your children, don't lie, and all of a sudden they're lying. So that's got to be a mind melt for them.
Father's
put it
name.
Politely.
Yeah.
But, are there any ever?
I think
any
he's waiting for his dad to jump out into the room.
Well, sometimes they are difficulties, but most of the times they aren't, because, most of the times there aren't any difficulties. But
I think you're happy to be rid of them.
What kind
myself.
Of thing?
But
sometimes people.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good. You know, you really gotta look at. All this old footage. It looks a lot different now than I'm sure if you were alive, you would have seen. There's so much to see now.
And then later on in this video, I inserted Henry from. Yeah, see, Henry did a good breakdown of the crime scene and the that's the blood stain from Martin Luther King's head. And they had a janitor clean up the blood stain. It's like that doesn't happen.
It's called forensics.
See that picture right there? That picture of all the guys pointing at the shooter,
right?
Okay, right there is your giveaway, because how do those guys know that the shooter is done shooting? I mean, they are making themselves the next target. See, and when you see the person next to you get their head blown off, you're running for your damn life. Okay, so this picture right there is showing.
He was shot with a 30-06, right?
All
right. So let's go ahead and go.
Yeah, that's Jesse Jackson there pointing at the shooter.
The cameraman stays right
there. Oh, Jesse Jackson's in there?
Pictures. Yeah. That's MLK. Jesse Jackson is one of those guys that are pointing at this. See that? James Earl Ray.
The blood never soaks into his.
Right, yeah. Yeah, another staged event, guys. Sorry, another one that's not real. And he got and he has his own national holiday now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Federal day off, at least. And we got Willard. Willard, you wandered into the studio. How you doing? If anyone wants to join us in the studio, fake11.com/restream, you can join in. And only join in if you really want to say anything. Otherwise, it's a bit of a distraction. So, Willard, if you want to say something, go for it.
Willard's asking if you're taking calls on the 810 number.
Yeah, or you can talk here. You're already in. This is actually a clearer line. So if you want to talk, talk. I suppose what I didn't turn on the phones. I missed.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. I turned half the phone on, but I have to... So now it's open, but you can talk here if you want, Willard, or call in. That's fine. And fake nukes call or fake or no planes. Nope. Oh, I see you're on the tablet. Planes called in on the Skype. So yeah, call the phone, Willard, if you want. I'll answer that, or the thing will answer it. We've been going already 56 minutes. An hour with Phil goes by really fast. So there's so much content. So I don't like to keep Phil more than an hour because he does a lot of shows. But you can already see there's a ton of content over here already.
Yeah, and I try to keep my videos short. I know that people's time is valuable. I try to get to the points real quickly. And, I did this little quick breakdown of this Mia Shem, this girl that almost got raped while being held captive. And,
it was a pre-rape?
There was she said they were looking at me. They were raping me with their eyes. It's like, woman, you don't know what rape is. It's like,
actually, they were trying to figure out what's wrong with their lips. Wow. I know women,
they do those injections. Yeah.
Hey, who's calling?
Yeah, this is Willis in Florida.
Willard, how you doing, Willard, buddy? Turn down your radio there if you don't mind, so we don't have to.
Yeah, I got it. I have a bad internet connection. I can only talk by phone. Phil, I wanted to ask you. You know how you mentioned at the end of World War II, they began this method of psychological operations.
Mm-hmm.
There is a book by L. Fletcher Prouty called JFK, the CIA, assassination in Vietnam. I don't know if you've heard of the book or not.
No. Refresh my memory. I might have.
It's by L. Fletcher Prouty, who was a colonel in the Air Force. And in the movie by Oliver Stone, Donald Sutherland plays his part. And it came out when the movie came out. And it was like the expose by Insider, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in chapter 3, mm-hmm. called The Invisible War, he straight up says that the entire Cold War was run by psychological operations in which they faked terror events. Mm. And he used an example from 1985 in Spain where these military officers got in trouble because they staged a terrorist attack in a town.
Mm.
And the rebels and the soldiers that suppressed them were both in on it. And he said, this is the type of operation that's been going on hundreds of times all over the world ever since the end of the Cold War. So there you go.
Mm.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so they released a little bit of truth, but I bet you the rest of the book is bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, that's what I don't understand. That was one thing I was going to ask Lynn, because she talks about the dog that wouldn't bark, where people refer to the book, but they never mention that chapter. It's not discussed. It's just like, Ab, you were saying about going to South America. In the book Blind Ambition, John Dean, Watergate, he straight up says in there when it looked like they were going to make him the scapegoat, he said that he was wondering, you know, how they would do it. It's on page 12 of the book, whatever edition, where they're, you know, he said they'd contact Mitchell and they'd send him to Latin America and give him a new identity as a business. And he's wondering what they would tell, you know, the families, the kind of accident, you know, it happened. And my point is where did he get the idea that this is like an option or something they do? Where did it come from? Because he just straight out says it. They'll fake my death and I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not Dean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they do. I think the death faker is a huge phenomenon. Oh, I was just watching some basketball coach faked it. It's one of those died suddenly. He was 46 years old. He had a sudden heart attack. And I don't believe he's dead. People are faking their death on a daily basis. And, you know, this, and I think, sadly, I think Gemma may have got caught up in this died suddenly thing. A lot of these died suddenly people are faking it. Damar Hamlin, that was the fakest faint I've ever seen from Tiffany Dover. And Damar Hamlin, he fell on his butt. He didn't collapse. He fell on his butt. And then they came back and they released Damar from the hospital. They released a stunt double, like somebody that looked like Damar. And then that got the whole alt media up in a frenzy. It's like, oh my God, that's not him. See, I told you that's not him. It's like, dude, they're playing with your mind. It's like Damar Hamlin.
I think they're creating a straw man. So they're creating an obvious fake. And then that kind of diffuses. Like I still think people are getting sick and killed by the vaccine, but they can't control, they have to manage the story. So they manage it to their advantage. Right. I think that's how it's done.
This is a very tricky psyop they're doing.
I agree.
We got to employ all of our knowledge.
We really do.
Techniques. Yeah.
I just found out my mom is, she's got about six of these things in her. She's been sick for 2.5 weeks. She's sleeping all day now. So, you know, this is real. Sorry, guys. This is real. But they do manage. They are, you know, and the guy I saw today, he was, I don't know if he took the club. I guarantee, I'm pretty sure if he's part of the 95% or 98% of Canadians that probably took it, he probably took it. And, you know, guy's 58 years old, don't have strokes. Sorry. I know he might have not lived the perfect life, but. I tell you,
this thing
really accelerates it. I'm telling you, if you got anything going on, this thing pushes you over the edge. So, but they do manage. I think, like Phil said, a lot of them look fake. So, what's going on?
Yeah,
why are these news models falling over, and they fall to their knees, which nobody falls to their knees if they're not controlling it. Mm-hmm. So, what's going on? So, they're managing it and making you look stupid for saying, oh, that's the clot shot, you know. So, this is complex.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Phil, I had one other question about Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said it's what you got started. Yeah. One thing that struck me, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they showed a picture of the window that Paddock fellow was shooting out of.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, there's no bullet holes from return fire from the police.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think. You know, I started pointing out, I said, look, if that guy's up there shooting at people, when the police roll in, they're going to open up on him.
Oh, yeah. The Muslim, we don't, there are several videos of the concert venue where people on their cell phones, and many occasions the cell phone pans across the Mandalay Bay face, and you don't see any muzzle flashes coming from. He was on the 32nd floor. You don't see any muzzle flashes. There would have been huge muzzle flashes. His position would have been immediately, you know, compromised, and yes, you would have had return fire, and you would have seen huge muzzle flashes. He was firing a high-powered assault rifle packed with all kinds of, you know, powder, and that makes a big muzzle flash, and we don't see any of it. And yeah, that's once I saw how they did the Las Vegas event. Well, then. All these other things just started falling over like dominoes, and it's like that's why they've been doing all these events.
Right, all falls into place. Like I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all that I had.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I'll take my call. Good talking to you.
And thanks for the Beatles contract. I did get it. I did put it up.
Oh, good.
I don't know if Phil's into the Beatles, but There's a lot of fakery around the Beatles, and then
I do believe John Lennon faked his death. I don't Chapman guy didn't shoot him with a gun, you know. Chapman was like with the John Hinckley, and they both hung out. They were the same thing. They all of them faked their assassinations. Yeah.
Phil mentioned it. You know, there was a guy, I don't know if you remember, this is back several years ago, named Jason Wynn, that wrote an essay about the Lennon assassination and the connection with Roman Polanski, Manson. And it was a great essay and had all these connections. But the thing is if people read this, you know, it's like you said, if you're writing, if it's a psychological operation and it's not real, you're just writing a script. So you can have all these coincidences and all these connections in there. And it's not that hard because you're just writing a script.
Yeah, I saw Young and Restless today. It came on my TV as I was working on the computer. And there were a lot of connections there too. But that, you know, they just made it in the script room, you know.
Right.
That's the most logical thing that explains these events and explains all these connections is the fact that is coming from somebody's imagination in the script room.
Yeah, do you guys remember in 2007, the guy that said, "Don't tase me, bro"?
Oh,
I think it was John Kerry, I think it was.
Yeah.
He got confirmed about Skull and Bones.
Okay.
Well, shortly after that, there was this guy I came across. He was from Ireland, a really thick accent. And he had a podcast, and he was talking about it. And somebody called in and started roughing him up, saying, you know, you're saying this event is staged and this is put on, and, you know, how could they do all this? And the guy said to him, he goes, you know, you have the Central Intelligence Agency, they have huge budgets. You know, Ab, as you point out, they got these huge budgets and all these people. What do you think it is that they do? You know, do you think they're busting the filing cabinets in East Germany? No, this is what they do. He even published, like Unreal did, but this is before Unreal, all these alt-right people like Jones and them. And he says, that's what they do. That's what they're doing. You know, they're managing these stories and pulling these stunts. That's what the intelligence agencies do. It made perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Yep. The CIA is basically a Hollywood studio. I mean, that's all they are. They're just.
Yeah.
I mean, people say that CIA was behind the Kennedy assassination. I agree. Yeah, the CIA was totally in charge of doing the choreography and staging that fake event. Yes, they were. Yeah.
Yeah, they go back and look at some of these guys like Stevenson, some of these early founders. They have backgrounds in advertising. David Atlee Phillips was an actor and a playwright in college. He was the head CIA guy for the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but enjoyed talking to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Thanks for the thanks for calling in. I got to get back to John the Beggar. I think he was calling in, so I'll get back to him. And we've been going about an hour. Hey, John the Beggar, calling you back.
Oh, hi. Are the show still on?
Yeah, we're still going. I know you tried to call and you left a message, so I thought I'd get back to you before we close down.
Okay, fake events go on all over the world. I've known people who've worked in other parts of the world. And a friend of mine, he just passed away. He played basketball professionally down in Argentina. And he told me about a thing where he was visiting another city.
Yeah.
He was in a hotel room. And while he was in there, he looked across at another building. And there were several different levels of roofs in the building. This was high rise. But there was one guy on one thing, and there was a crowd down below. And he said, I'm going to jump. Mm-hmm. And on the lower level of the building, down below a couple of stories, there was a big foam mat or air mat so he could jump in it. And then there was another group of people there on that were from the coroner's office. And they had an already dead body. They zipped it, opened the bag, and took the body. And as he jumped over and hit the air mattress, he said they threw the other guy off the roof.
Mm. Wow.
And so I know this stuff is going on all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that could be how they faked the jumpers in 9/11. I mean, I just know that the jumpers were fake. Yeah, I don't know how they did it exactly, but nobody was in those buildings.
Yeah, and they manage all this. They manage even the anti-vaccine movement. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that people are dying from this. I knew a couple of people that took the shots, got sick right away, and 10 and 7 days later, they died, respectively, in a hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I know people do get sick from it. Other people I know have developed headaches, migraines, and other problems, tremors in their hands. But I'm quite sure they're managing this, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just posted a video on FakoTube with this doctor slash nurse, John Campbell. He's very big on YouTube.
And, oh, yeah, I've seen him.
And he's flipping and flopping, using graphs, making wrong conclusions, saying, oh, sorry, he pushed the vax really hard and now he's flipped. So there are a lot of people that these are stage managers. There's another one big story. I think Bart Weinstein, I've never heard of him, but Amazing Paulie was talking about him today. And he's going on about how he was a dissident early on. And now we see these people, they're still pro-vax. I think they just say this vax is the problem. We just need a better one.
Yeah. They still believe in the COVID, which I don't believe it is. I believe it's just the flu. I had it before it came out officially. They gave me antibiotics, shot and pills, cortisone, shot and pills, and I was fine.
Mm. Yeah, but they didn't even do a control on that. If they gave you nothing and told you to stay in bed and drink tea, you probably would have been fine too. So I don't buy it.
That's all my life when I've had the flu or viral infections. That's what I go and I standard stuff I get. It helps me.
You think it helps you, but there's also the placebo effect as well, huh?
So. No, it was like almost after I got those shots, within 20 minutes,
all right,
I was feeling better.
Okay. All right, John the Beggar. Thanks. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call. Bye, guys.
Thanks, John.
There's John the Beggar. All right, Phil, you got anything else? We've been going about an hour and 11 minutes or so.
Yeah, you know, well, we could go all night. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I posted the thing about Columbine there. I posted, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
You've got a lot of material there, in other words. Yeah.
That was just a quick video about this kid that got shot 5 times at Columbine. And,
What's he doing now?
Well, you see on the side of his face there, he had a bulge. And so there's a bulge on the side of his cheek, and that's a tumor. And then he had his scar after Columbine, and he said that he got shot with a shotgun. It's like, no, you had a tumor that was removed, and now you're saying you got shot with a shotgun. And I made the point that that's probably exactly what happened with Gabby Giffords. I think she might have had a brain tumor, and they removed it, and they just got a fake shooting out of it. The same thing with James Brady during the Reagan assassination hoax. He probably had a brain aneurysm or something. They removed it and they got a fake shooting out of it. And that's what all I got to do is prove one. And that shows that that's how they're doing this. When they show a victim that's got this horrific scar, that doesn't mean they got it from the shooting. It just means they had their life saved with a life-saving procedure to remove a tumor is all that means. And
where is she now?
I haven't heard Gabby Giffords. Gabby
Gifford, yeah.
Yeah, you know, where is she? It's
and where's where are the twin astronauts? The supposed twins.
Yeah,
I think those are fake twins too.
Yeah, yeah. You think it's just one guy just pretending to be twins? Yeah, that could be. That could
very well. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think the CIA has actual identical twins. They look for them and recruit them. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what about the fact that they might have one guy and say he's two different guys?
Mm-hmm.
And he plays both guys.
Exactly.
Now
that happens a lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen those guys in a while, but back maybe 5-6 years ago, they were always yapping away. And I think they even did one interview where they were both on the stage, but I think they were using just some fancy editing for that one.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
What are their names? I think it's Scott and Kelly.
Yeah, they're the Kellys. Yeah, I don't Scott. Yeah.
Scott and Mark Kelly.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up real quick and see if they're in the same thing, because
I think NASA pushes this this twin brother stuff so much because they have to.
Everybody, it's Tony Robbins. How you doing out there?
They have to cover up their whopper from the Challenger incident, where they Anizuka, the twin brothers, and so now NASA.
This is NASA astronaut Scott Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
He was inducted into the National Astronaut Hall of Fame in 2021.
Today,
joins him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy.
They sat down with
Navis
to talk about some of their favorite first moments of their spaceflight careers.
This might be fun. This might be a fun thing to look at
in our family that was called.
This is something you probably could dig into. Why don't I have any audio here?
I was clearly the first person that flew in space, though. Wasn't even close.
That is true. That is true. But almost everything else.
But
in
are they ever in the same room? I guess is the question.
I graduated from college first and grad school. I got my wings first
like
in the United
robots.
States Navy. And you could
a lot
go
of crappy.
On and on.
Okay,
a lot
but
of
he
crappy.
He did fly in space first.
They
and
both look like they're made out of a test tube
for a lot more time than I did. I spent.
Yeah, I can't get audio. I don't know what the hell's going
Scott
on
spent
here.
Five,
but
120
oh,
days
I can hear it on my side.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
That's like
3%. Oh, that's funny.
Of your
I
life.
Can't hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it on my side.
Maybe here. What's this? Sound was muted on this page.
I don't
Hold on.
Even have a recollection of when I filled out the application for NASA ever talking to Mark about it. Maybe.
Come on. I remember sitting at your dining room table, and I remember convincing you over dinner one night that you should apply to be an astronaut as well, and then you did. And thanks to me.
So could they make this video with one guy is the question.
Yeah.
They could. So this could be two different things spliced together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they could. They look whatever they are. They look like a robot. I don't know. You know, these guys aren't real, genuine human beings. Nobody goes into space. That's a promise from Fake Nukes Phil. None of your children will go to space, and none of your grandchildren will go to space. It'll never happen.
And you could shave the head. That's one less thing that you could pick up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They had different hair. You could, I don't know. There's so many deception techniques. It's so cool in a way to study all this. But anyway. All right, Fake Nukes, good show. What's next? What's next this week for you?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I wake up in the morning and things get thrown at me, and, I'll probably do some more Gaza stuff because, like I said, I'm on a mission. I want to bring that. I want to make sure, you know, I don't know.
You're bringing peace to the Middle East.
I'm bringing peace to the Middle East. I'm doing what nobody else has been able to do in 75 years. And it's just it's fulfilling for me. It's like this is what I was born to do. And it's like and so
how did you get mixed up with Gemma again? Did she come to you or you came to her?
Yeah, she contacted me. She saw me on Jim Rizzoli's show and I Googled her name and she has a Wikipedia page. I said, oh my God, this woman has a big following. And I know she's banned off YouTube, but there's people on YouTube that follow her and give updates on Gemma's. So Gemma's going through some tough court battles today. They're coming at her again that the parent of that person she said died suddenly and wants to sue her, and they're coming at her hard. And so, you know, I'm surprised that they want to make a martyr out of Gemma, and because that's going to blow up in their face if they do that. And so,
I guess she's part of the media, but she's not part of the media. I don't really know her very well. Simon seemed to like her, but of course, his main thrust of September Clues is it's the media.
Mm-hmm.
So she's ex-media now. Is that like ex-military? Is that a question we can ask?
Yeah. Well, you know,
she really. Are you ever ex-military or ex-media?
You know, I think, you know, like you said before, who can we trust on any of these platforms? It's like, you know. So I just go.
I'm just
forward.
Asking questions. I don't have answers.
Yeah.
I'm asking questions.
Yeah, you know, I just go for, you know, Gemma's getting me a lot of exposure. And so I appreciate that. And look, just like Jim got me a lot of exposure. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're big. They got 7,000 plus on BitChute. So yeah.
Yeah. And you're getting me a lot of good exposure, you know, and that's just freaking awesome. And I'm not here selling t-shirts. I'm not selling vitamin pills. I'm just trying to, I'm throwing these, I'm just trying to find that one thread. I'm trying to do as much damage as one man can do from a small little condominium in Palm Springs. You know, I don't have much power. I don't have much money. I don't have any power. Well, what kind of damage can I do?
You're a one-man wrecking crew.
And so I'm just exploring, how much damage can I do from my little apartment here?
Well, like I told you, reignited the 9/11 thing.
Yeah, good. Really, you know,
that going.
Because a lot of them are still alive, and so we can still get at them. Like that Howard dude that you were just, he's still around. He's still telling whoppers. And so, you know.
And he's making money, I guess.
Yeah, and Greg left a comment. So, yeah, good going, Greg. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Tomorrow I got John Robinson, Ernst Zundel's videographer, for my part three. Mm. And Jim promoted that today on his channel. I appreciate it. So,
John sounds like a real good guy. I think he's, I think me and him kind of think almost alike. Yeah.
Yeah, you should have him on your show or maybe get him talk to him.
That'd be a great interview. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like the real deal to me.
Yeah,
now, I've been fooled before, but I met the guy in the flesh. So
okay,
he's met me. I've met him. He's a real person. He doesn't look like an agent, whatever they look like. So
yeah,
if he's telling a whopper, then he gave up a lot of money.
Yeah,
to get out of a trade and go help be a videographer. I don't think that paid very well.
Yeah,
so. All right, Phil. Thanks a lot. Yeah, great night.
Yeah, you too.
Next time.
See you next week. All right.
All right. Bye. Thanks, everybody. There goes Fake Nukes Phil. I'll put a link to his BitChute channel. Thanks, everyone, for joining. This is Value for Value. If you like the show, just give us a donation at fakeologist.com/donate. It's Value for Value. Pay whatever you think the show is worth. I use all the money, for the most part, for FakeoTube to keep the video going. And I didn't even look in the video FakeoTube chat tonight. Not Shock says, good show. Thank you so much. Greg Shantz put a link, a couple links. They'll be in the comments in the video. This video will be rendered within 10 minutes of the show being over. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be talking with John Robinson for the rest of Ernst's epic career. So we're going to go from the 90s to when he died in 2017. So should be interesting. And make sure you join in. And tune in, rather. Fakeologist.com/live. Take care. Good night. We'll be right back.